We're live.
When it comes to professional and personal development, I'm a committed cliff jumper. I believe in cliff jumping. Okay, not real cliffs. I'm actually a little scared of heights. Yet I do think that the only way to get where you want to be, professionally, personally, physically, emotionally, intellectually, or even spiritually, is to jump off a cliff. Cliff jumping involves taking risks, calculated risks that force us to stretch our limits, push our boundaries, and step well outside of our comfort zones. We need to open ourselves up to the risk of failure if we want to develop the career we crave, to create the life we want for ourselves and for our loved ones, to keep a healthy and fit body, and to grow intellectually, emotionally, and even spiritually. There's little chance for self-improvement if we stay away from the edge. Success lies in determining which cliffs are right for us and when is the best time to leap from their heights. WordPress is a fantastic cliff jumping tool. Whether you're a print designer looking to expand your capabilities, a marketing professional looking to dig deeper into the tools that drive online marketing, or even if you're an advanced web developer with years of experience, WordPress and the WordPress community offer you the challenge and tools you need to jump off the cliff. I'm Liam Dempsey, and Cliff Jumping Off the Dradcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drad.
For the Dradcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
Right now, baby. And Dre, I'm ready to jump off a cliff. Are you ready to jump off a cliff?
In fact, a 90-foot cliff, if things work out against me with this weight challenge we got going on, it's going to be a long drop, but I'm ready.
Challenge. That is right. So, I was when I think of cliff jumping after last week, I think more about the NFL games that happened, but we could definitely talk about the Drad weight loss challenge that Dre and I are pitted against each other in a battle to the death of our extra fat pounds.
Well, this has to happen after a week of hunting and trying to battle the reptilian beast known as Champ off of Lake Champlain in Vermont. It is definitely something that we need to do because, it was a week of pain, in fact. So we need to move towards a healthier lifestyle, if you will.
Yeah, so we're going to have a little bit of fun. So you can lose the most weight between now and WordCamp San Francisco. We'll see what happens. I don't even remember what we bet on. I'm sure it was something.
Well, it's exactly it. Across from where we were at in Lake Champlain, there is a cliff, a 90-foot cliff that drops into 200 feet of water. The loser has to go to the top and has to jump in. I'm excited to see your face when you jump off the side of that cliff,
right? So, to be fair, you do have more weight to lose, so I guess it will be a little bit easier for you. But
was that a fat joke? Because that wasn't cool, my friend.
Oh, you know what? It's on. It is on. Let's get to it, man. We got a great show. We got a great get ready to talk about some chicken monkey dog. But before we do that, I have to introduce our guest, Mr. Liam Dempsey. Liam, welcome to the Dradcast, buddy.
Thanks, man. It's great to be here.
Oh yeah,
great to have you. Liam is actually lives out here near me. He's in the Philly burbs, just like myself. A little bit further burb, but still in the Philly area. So we actually get to see each other quite a bit in this community, which is pretty awesome. So, and we've been known to throw a few back as
perhaps.
Well, which is always perhaps. So speaking of throwing a few back, I want to know what you guys are sipping.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Well, I hope you have like a double chocolate malted shake over there or something there, fatty. Let's do this.
Oh man, this episode's not going to end well. I can already tell. Well, since we are in the weight loss challenge, I'm being lame-o, man. I got water. Sorry, Liam. We'll have to catch up another time. What do you got over there, Liam? Please tell me you're the savior of the show.
Yeah, I'm keeping it local here. A little Yards.
Right. Yeah.
Yards. Porter.
Yards. Great local beer.
I had some of that last week. It was delicious. Good stuff. I'm going to close off that H2O sandwich with a bottle of Aquafina's Finest, my friend.
Ooh, open it up right live on the air.
Now you guys are making
me. Yeah.
All right.
No, it's fun good time. For you. It's good for you. If I wasn't... look, I'm competing November 1st, in fact, at the Masters World Championship at Long Beach. So that's today is the beginning of training camp.
Excellent. Well, good luck with that. I know you're going to rock it.
Let's do it, man. We'll be keeping everyone up to date on who's winning and how far Dre is behind. let's get into the interview, man. I want to hear more about Liam. I want to hear more about Liam's story because, you know, as much as we've hung out, I don't think I've heard your entire story, man. I think I've heard the more recent stuff with what you've been working on and kind of where you've been at the last few years, but I haven't heard back way farther back than I would have to go, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Way back to when you started. So we kind of like to start, like, not just WordPress, but when did the web click for you? When did you get to the web? When did you really kind of start dabbling with just working on the internet?
Well,
or doing
stuff
on the internet?
You know, I kind of like to joke with people that I went to college with Mark Andreessen, and I think we might have crossed paths in the sense that we were both at University of Illinois along with 35 other thousand people, and he was doing really smart stuff, and I was drinking beer. But you know, that as a freshman in college was really cool because we had I had Spanish homework, and I had to send emails to other people in Spanish. And at the time in 1990, I could only email other people in the university. There wasn't email everywhere, and I was trying to tell my parents about it. And I'm like, what? You're doing what? You're sending? How's that? So that was kind of neat.
That's early, man. So that was 1990. You were sending emails at the university?
It was just its own closed network, right? So the technology but there was nowhere to send it. And, you know, I didn't really appreciate everything that it was. It was, yeah, this is kind of neat. I can send you a letter. We didn't call it email, right? I'll send you a letter. And so I had a couple of programming classes in college, and Pascal in particular put me off that. I said, oh, my gosh, this is really hard. I'm sure it was really simple stuff, but I didn't get it. So I kind of stepped away from the internet in that sense, really, for the rest of the decade, and came back in 2000 as a designer. I was writing copy for a nonprofit in Chicago. And they said, hey, can you do the newsletter? Can you design the newsletter as well as write it? And I said, sure, why not? I'll give it a go. And it occurred to me that I really liked not only controlling what the words were, so being able to draft that copy, but then controlling what it actually looked like on the page, and that was a lot of fun. And then because it was 99, 2000, 2001, even then it was pretty clear that print was not going to last that long as a major medium. So I started getting into HTML and the CSS and took a class in Dreamweaver at my local community college.
Awesome. So it sounds like you're moving forward on the development side of things, kind of understanding how to put web pages together, understand how they kind of work. But what point did you get into more, how did you stumble into WordPress? Were you familiar with open source? Was it by chance? Were you kind of playing with some different platforms and that just happened to be the one that stuck? Or?
Yeah, so I got into kind of database sites, bringing in a web developer once I moved to the UK. I moved in 2002 and was always making just static sites back then. And small brochure style sites, and I had the opportunity to take on some bigger projects, and I brought in a developer, and she was using a custom CMS back when people wrote their own CMS on a more regular basis, and that really kind of turned me on to, hey, that's really cool. You can have a website, and it makes it much easier than having to add navigation to everything all over again.
Yeah.
So my first open source website, what I jumped into was text pattern, which I don't know if you guys have ever used it before, but it's much more popular, or it was much more popular in Europe than it ever made over here.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with text pattern, is what you said?
Text pattern.
Pattern as in
pattern.
The plaid pattern on your pants, my friend.
I'm not familiar with it. Dre, you ever heard of that?
Yep. Probably early 2000s was one of the platforms that I was looking at. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was great for a guy like me who knew how to code up an HTML site, because you would build your site, your design, your CSS, and then you would just copy your code and pop it into text pattern via its database. So all your web pages sat in the database. Your assets, your images were outside of it. But then you would replace your static code with text pattern hooks. So from that sense, I kind of looked at WordPress, and that had separate templates. You couldn't use your own code in the kind of the way that in text pattern, where you just quite literally could take your HTML page, plop it into the database, and then work through the navigation, and then swap out the next bits and the next bits. But this is really where the WordPress community stepped up, is because WordPress has this fantastic community around it. And even those early days, it was starting to grow. It was clear that WordPress was marching on. The technology was getting better. The functionality was there. The power behind it was so much stronger that as more and more companies were looking to market themselves online, TextPattern just didn't have that community to drive the CMS forward.
And when was this time frame wise?
So I started using TextPattern in probably 2004, 2005. And by 2007, I had switched to WordPress for my own site, and really swore off TextPattern in terms of new builds. Within a year or so, it really wasn't worth it anymore.
So you were back in the 2.x, you know, early 2.x days of WordPress, it sounds like, and that's actually the time when I really used WordPress, was right around 2007. I had used it earlier, but just more as a blog than actually tried to build sites with it, you know what I mean? So that was a time when I really think the growth of the community, because you mentioned community and how that really won it over for you, that's when I really think it started to blow up. You started to see a lot of podcasts around WordPress. You saw a lot of news sites. I think the Tavern started right around 07, 08, you know, news sites around WordPress. I think the word just really started to spread at WordPress, and that's what really you saw that huge, graph of users switching over to WordPress at that time.
Yeah, and it became a lot easier to make things like custom menus and change navigation. And I started WordPress with a blog for myself. I wanted to put that together, and WordPress seemed to have my own blog. WordPress seemed a good way. Well, I'll test it on myself and see if I can figure it out. And in so doing, this is some good stuff. This is really cool.
Very cool. So you started using WordPress. You started realizing you could build some sites with it. Take us through the progression of kind of tinkering around with WordPress to actually doing it at a professional level.
So when I moved to the UK, speaking of cliff jumping, I didn't have a job. I didn't know anybody. I wanted to live in Europe. I speak English. It seemed a good place to start.
That's good call.
It was
agree.
That island or the one to the west of it. So my wife agreed to come with me, which was helpful for our marriage, and we moved to London. And that really made it pretty clear to me that the value of community. I went to, at the time, it was a top 25 university in the USA, but I didn't go to Harvard, I didn't go to Yale, and nobody in London had heard of the University of Illinois. So credentials and kind of the community that you get in a professional environment, I just didn't have, and I didn't know anybody. And so I really just took an office job to pay the bills, and was very lucky that I landed at a job where some really great people, and I kind of started doing the admin, and was, hey, I can... I could do some design things here for you, and I could, I could help with the website, and I can do this. And started to then, as I was making some contacts in the community, was able to grow a freelance business out of that. It took a few years, to be fair. I landed in the job in 2003. By 2005, I had started scaling back my days at the day job. And then by early 2006, I was making more money between 5 and 9 than 9 and 5. So I was kind of going through that debate, do I work one day a week or 2 days a week for the other company, one or two? And then it was, what am I doing? I'm going to work for myself, and I'm making more money at home than going in.
Man.
Yeah, jump. So
it's a tough decision to make, too. I mean, obviously, you moving to another country is I'm sure was a very big decision, but leaving, everyone has that moment when they say, you know what, this can work for me, and I can do this full time, and I really enjoy doing this, and I would love to do this full time, and to make that leap, some leaps are bigger than others, right? But I think it's interesting that you point that out, especially in your monologue. Like, that is a big leap, and anyone that's in the WordPress community that's doing it had to make that leap, right? And it's what I always tell people, like, just if you want to do it, just freaking do it. And I think it's easy to say when you're on the side of it. I know that. I think we all know that. But it's true, right? If you want to do it, do it. Make it happen, and you will thank yourself.
Let's be clear, though. It's not for everybody. You need to have certain disciplines to jump on your own. You need to really vet the risks and see if it the rewards from that outweigh the actual potential negative impact that can come with taking that jump. If you study it and you educate yourself of those risks, you're in a really good spot. You know, even broken bones heal, right? They mend. So it's all about calculating those risks, what those impacts are, and if you can understand them, they're controllable. They're things that you can step into.
Controllable risks.
Yeah, man.
Well, I think it's
you
just
want to have a plan.
You know, you want to jump off a cliff because that's the way to get ahead, but you need a parachute or a paraglider, or at least be well aware that there's water underneath, that you're not just jumping off blindly.
Yeah.
So I couldn't agree with you more, Dre.
That's pretty cool. So you made the leap. You went full time.
Yeah, and you know, it was great. It was all the flexibility that I was able to get. I was working from home. It was really kind of idyllic. I was living in a little village just outside Oxford, England. I was able to walk my daughter and my son to school and daycare every morning and walk back home, and lived on a hill, and horses would clip-clop by my house every afternoon as they were heading up to the trail and the like. So it was fantastic. Had a lot of business, had a lot of clients coming in, and as Dre said, I was able to do the research and make sure that the cliff jump had some chance of success, and was able to land on my feet pretty nicely.
Yeah, it seems to have done well. You're still doing it to this day?
And, yeah.
Doing well.
Yep. I had in 2009, I had the chance to move back to the U.S., and there was all sorts of reasons to do it. The biggest one, probably from a business perspective, is I was really busy and was going to need to hire somebody, and because I just couldn't do all the work that was coming in the door. And so it was, well, if things are going this well over here in the UK, let me see if I can't step back to the US to try to pull that together and kind of grow a little bit that way and take advantage of that. And so that's what I did.
Now you're in the beautiful Philadelphia. We have plenty of horses.
And it's awesome. I love Philly. I don't know if I've told you this, Brad. Dre, I'm sure I haven't told you this. I had been to Philly once before I moved here. And I was here for like a day and a half, and mostly in suburban Philadelphia, and it was the middle of a snowstorm. So there wasn't any sightseeing. It was, hey, we're probably going to move to Philadelphia. All right, I suppose I should go there before I move there. And happened to be back in the U.S. family vacation and then moved to Philly, and I couldn't be happier. I love the city. It's great.
So you actually go cliff diving with a
a lot.
Yeah, with a freaking blindfold, if anything, right? Like, hey, I'm just going to run with it. Let's see what happens.
No, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the house that we were lucky enough to be able to buy, I saw it in person a few hours before I signed the paperwork on it. So, yeah, I mean, you build a core of people that you trust around you. You learn to trust your own skills, limit your own shortcomings, and we all have shortcomings. I have mine for sure. You try to limit those and just keep jumping. Just keep jumping.
Very cool. So let's keep moving on. We have some other topics that we definitely want to get to. And I want to talk about chicken monkey dog. So chicken monkey dog, why don't you tell everybody what chicken monkey dog is? And I think you're not wearing the shirt, but you have an actual chicken monkey dog shirt, which is just as cool.
I do. And I've been remiss, you guys. I was I woke up not this Monday, but last Monday with every plan to dig the T-shirts out of the box and send you guys a couple. So I'll follow up after this and make sure I get your shipping addresses.
Yeah, I'd love to
send those over to you.
Hey, we'll wear it live on an episode after we receive them. That's for
absolutely
sure.
Nice. So Chicken Monkey Dog kind of came out of a couple of different creative opportunities. One is one of my younger brothers. He and I are somewhat similar in a creative sense. We're professionally different. We have different careers, but we were looking for ways to engage with each other in some kind of creative output. And at the time, I was in London and he was in Chicago, and so a blog seemed a natural opportunity there. So we just kind of figured we would write about whatever we wanted to write about. So that was kind of one half, and the other half was kind of trying to develop my own creative skills. There's a writer, or he's passed away. There was a writer by the name of Mike Royko. Have either of you guys heard of him? He was a Chicago columnist a few decades ago. And he would crank out a column, you know, 5 days a week, 4 days a week, and it would be awesome. It would be just great. And yeah, some days were better than others. But I was just amazed at how does a guy meet at 5 p.m. or whatever the publication deadline is every day. And I said, there's got to be something to just teaching yourself to be creative. So as my brother Connell and I were rolling out Chicken Monkey Dog, we decided that we were going to publish 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And so every day by midnight anyway, in one of the time zones that we were in, we had to have something up. So it was sort of, okay, it's 11:42. I've got 18 minutes to get something live. What can I do? And forcing ourselves to learn how to be creative on command has really been quite beneficial in both kind of a professional development but in a commercial sense as well.
Creative on command would be awesome, but the name. Tell me about the name. I need to know about the name.
So we knew we weren't going to blog about anything consistent. There was no theme. It was just, what did you feel like talking about, writing about, seeing today? We didn't want to be it about us. It wasn't a name thing. And we just wanted something that would make people say, what the heck is that? And want to go and visit it. And it would be easy to remember. It would be a little bit silly, a little bit quirky, a little bit out there. So I was just brainstorming up some names, and I came on Chicken Monkey Dog, and perhaps not surprisingly, the domain was available.
Really snatched up a good one there. Dog. That's great. I love on your about page, it says, it just rolls off the tongue and has you thinking, I don't know what it is, but I like it. Chicken Monkey Dog. Definitely check that out. ChickenMonkeyDog.com. Got a lot of content on there. I can tell you got your blog posts in the last few weeks, at least from what I can tell. Yep. It's a pretty interesting idea that you're kind of forcing yourself. I'm terrible about blogging. Absolutely awful. So I really need to get into some kind of daily probably isn't going to happen, but at least once a week I need to really kind of force myself.
You know, that's something that in another battle of the dradsters, if you will.
Oh boy.
because I am miserable.
It's a throwdown.
It's a straight throwdown. We should figure something out with that, man. There should be some something to do with that between you and I as well, Brad. I think it's an important thing to get that content out, and I have a challenge doing it. I always have. That's why I go to WordCamps and do my little hour session or a meetup and do something like that, because I can't do it on a regular on my own. But if I'm in front of folks, I seem to have a better time chatting about the topics that are important to me. You guys have that opportunity in a big way in Philadelphia. In fact, you have two, you know, one huge awesome city. You spoke to that a little bit, Liam. But two awesome WordPress meetups, all in the same area. I mean, that's pretty kick-ass.
It is. Yeah, it is. I mean, awesome. So I started the Philly WordPress meetup group in, what's it been, 3 years, 4 years?
Been a while.
I can't remember exactly. I want to say 2010, right around there. So we've been going for a while. And then Liam came up with a great idea. Why don't you tell everybody what you did, Liam?
All right. So... It came down to the fact that I was judging on whether or not I would go to the Philadelphia WordPress meetup based on the topic of the night. I live about an hour outside of Philly, maybe a little bit further with traffic and the like. And after like the third one that I skipped, I'm like, I kind of know that topic. I realized that That's not why you go to meetups. Yes, you go to learn a particular topic, but really you go to meetups to meet people and to network and to hang out with friends and talk about things that you love. And so I went to one of the ones down in Philly, and it was at CHOP, and I think Sean Blanda was doing a presentation afterwards. I went up to Doug, and I said, hey, you know, and I was kind of nervous. Not that Doug's a mean guy. He's a great guy, but, you know, here was Doug Stewart and Brad Williams.
Blackbeard.
Yeah, big WordPress guys in the community, been here a long time, know what they're doing, know the community, know Philly, and here's this guy who had been to Philly once before and was only in town a couple of years. But I would explain the situation to Doug, and I said, you know, what do you guys think about a suburban WordPress meetup? I don't want to step on toes, and would that be a conflict, or do you think there would be any value in that? And I'll never forget Doug's answer because it was hilarious. He says, yeah, no, you know, absolutely, whatever you want, that's great, and, you know, great for trying. And look, the worst that's going to happen is you're going to send out an invite, you're going to have it at your favorite bar, no one's going to show up, and you'll drink a beer, and then you'll go home. So, yeah, totally go for it.
Is that a bad way to put it?
Yeah, so that was the go ahead from the community that said there would be value there, and Brad and Doug and Reed and really the entire Philadelphia WordPress community have been really supportive of helping us get off the ground and coming out to deliver presentations for us and promoting our meetups and sharing the news and information on Twitter and you know. Guys were kind enough to ask me to help out a little bit for WordCamp Philly 2014. So again, giving the opportunity of the Burbs to help out the City Boys was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean it's been great, and I think it's something that a lot of big cities could really consider because I mean, like you mentioned, and one of the reasons you did it, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get downtown at the end of the day to go to a meetup, and if you're in the Burbs, going downtown could be anything from 20 minutes to an hour, you know, and or more, you know, depending on how big the city is. So it can be a chore. So I love the idea of, you know, a centralized meetup downtown, you know, kind of in that city, and then having one out in the burbs, especially with what you're doing, where you kind of bounce around to different burbs around the city. So you don't just stay in one suburb, you bounce around. So it gives everybody an opportunity. If they can't really get out of the house and go far, they'll still have an opportunity to go to a WordPress meetup. And it's also a little bit smaller, a little bit more focused, more personal, you know. So I think it's worked really well in Philly. Both communities, I think, have helped each other and benefited from each other. I think it would work in almost any major city, you know, that has a very large suburban area that, you know, they could look at. We're all at meetups, and you don't have to have a meetup to have 200 people show up every night. So it's a really cool idea. It's working great in Philly. Love doing it. Love seeing it.
Man, I still keep thinking back, man. You were in the UK for how long? Were you in the UK?
7 years.
That's quite a long stretch. I mean, I think about my time in the Navy. I spent 12 years in the Navy, and that was pretty long. 7 years is quite a while. I know that in my time in the Navy, there's certainly a different language and a different way that things happen. The way that you talk to each other and interact is certainly different from a regular civilian. I would assume that English in the UK is very different than here in the U.S. Any stories that you could talk about, things lost in translation, if you will?
Yeah, sadly, embarrassingly. Yeah, I'd like to say that most of the lost in translation stories are from the first couple of years of my living there. I managed to pick up on most of the idioms, and most of them were unfortunately for my employer when I was working for somebody else and in an office environment. So there's this great little phrase that the UK and American English are two great countries divided by the same language. So we had it was financial year end for this company that I was at, and they had the auditors in, and you can imagine the auditor prim and proper and in a business suit and everything, and we were much more casual, not jeans and t-shirts, but you know, kind of casual shirts and khakis. And so I, at the time, was helping get the files that the auditor needed. And there's a phrase called, that to mean something very easy to do, that
I didn't. I knew what it meant, and I knew the phrase, and I'll tell it to you in just a minute. But I didn't appreciate the crassness, the crudeness of it, because the people I was working with were just saying it around the office. So the auditor says, "Hey, Liam, can you help me get these bits of financial information and get it over to her?" And I kind of look up at her smilingly and say, "Oh, yeah, no worries. It's a piece of piss. I'll get right on it." And my two colleagues, their jaw just hit the table. And one of them, after this really long, awkward pause, turns to the auditor and says, "We're sorry. He knows English." I said, "Oh, was that a problem?"
Didn't quite use that correctly.
Right.
Whoops.
Apparently that's a little bit ruder than I was led to believe. I'm sorry about that.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. LB Design. Tell me about LB Design.
So we are a small little consultancy, do a lot of online marketing, a lot of WordPress work. It all kind of spins around online marketing, but we do a lot of blog writing as well and some strategy and some social media. The best part, though, is really building websites and then use this website's WordPress tool to move on. So, we've got a little bit of news, and if it's all right now, I'll share it with you guys.
Breaking news!
Another Dradcast exclusive.
Yeah, absolutely. The only place to share your WordPress news is Dradcast. So we're hiring. I'm really excited to say we're hiring. We're going to be hiring somebody in the U.S. We're looking for a front-end developer, maybe somebody with a little bit of design experience, but really the core of the job would be development, helping convert our designs into fantastic WordPress custom themes for our clients.
Well, congratulations on that. It's good to see the growth. It's good to see you. It's been a couple years. Last time I saw you, it was all dolled up for Halloween. It was outstanding. Man, what a great WordCamp that was. In fact, we've kept in contact ever since, so that's exciting to see.
Absolutely.
We're going to go ahead and move on. It's been a great interview, great chatting with you, Liam. I want to move on, Brad, to this week's Pressing Topics. So when you have major technical difficulties and malfunctions, it's always good to be involved with an organization like AppPressor that creates apps like the one they did for Dradcast with a soundboard built in, because you always have a backup. So that worked out.
Bam!
Like a train wreck. Like a total Plan train B. Wreck. Thanks, folks, for tuning in to the world's most unprofessional professional podcast in the world.
This is all what right. We do. Where do we start? We weren't on last week, Trey, and there was some big news last week that we didn't get to share, so we kind of got to backtrack a little bit, right?
There's some kick-ass stuff to go over here. First one, I want to rock out and talk about a jazz clarinetist, if you will, and band leader. Well, honor of, anyways. We're going to name him Benny. WordPress 4.0 released. And if you haven't updated, you got some weird stuff going on. You need to go ahead and update. I think they're up to right around 3.5 million updates worldwide at this point to 4.0, and that's over the last week and a half. A lot of media changes in the media library. Working with embeds now is easy as all ever. Writing your posts, so some good stuff happening there. Some enhancements have been made on when you're editing for a smoother, more immersive kind of feel and focus on your content. All sorts of good stuff here. Finding the right plugins. Go check out the plugin area. Installing a new plugin is super cool. You get ratings. You get all sorts of fun information right at first glance.
Loving the new plugin icon. So when you search plugins in the directory, you can now see plugin authors can set icons. It just gives it a more professional feel, I think. So it'll be fun to see those icons over time, you know, fill out across most of the major plugins. It's pretty neat.
This is and I'm going to attribute this completely to Dradcast, because we are the biggest proponents for people getting involved with the community, getting involved with WordPress and WordPress Core. Under Helen, who was the lead for this release, over 275 contributors with prompts. Folks, 275 people contributed some type of code or something into WordPress 4.0. That is freaking awesome. Amazing. Certainly great. not just Drad material. That's just the project in the community at large. Amazing to see, and it'd be neat to see that over 300-400 people in 4.1 and releases to come.
What do you think, guys? Liking the release? We talked about it on past episodes a little bit, but now that it's out, what are your thoughts?
I think it's amazing. I'm glad to see.
We're not biased at all, though, right?
Well, no. I mean, shit. That's probably wrong folks to ask, really. I didn't see any. I was expecting some big backlash from some of the major media outlets. Go, wow, this is 4.0, and where's all the bells and whistles? Well, maybe I've missed it, but I haven't seen a lot of negative discussion around 4.0, and I certainly love the enhancements that were made. And kudos to Helen and the 275-plus people involved with it, because I will absolutely be using it across a ton of websites, and I'm stoked to be a part of it. So thank you very much to the entire team that put their efforts into making this an awesome release.
Yeah, I like it. It's fantastic. I think they really did their homework on making WordPress a better content management system. So maybe it's not any better for developers, any better for designers, but for the people putting the content into the sites, the changes to the WYSIWYG interface and the media library, awesome. I couldn't be more pleased with it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You're right. It had a lot of focus on content writers, which at the end of the day, that's what WordPress is for, right? Publishing content. Sure. So. Not a whole lot of bells and whistles and changes visually. There's a few, but not, you know, nothing like really in your face. But yeah, overall, it's a solid release. And I like the fact that it's a solid release and they stayed on schedule. It was released just a few days after the projected date. Stayed on schedule, got it out. Now, guess what? Time to talk about 4.1. Keep moving forward.
Oh, yeah. And associated with 4.1 is going to be the release of this year's theme, or at least next year's 2015. It's in the works, and if you go to the Make WordPress Core website, the blog there, Constantine put out a nice post on this yesterday and asking for people to get involved. So if you're interested in being a part of the 2015 release, get involved. Let's do it.
What do you think, guys? You like this? Let me ask you something. You like the way they're kind of rolling out these default themes with the idea of they kind of put together a starting point and then release it to the community and say, all right, now take it over?
I don't have a general problem with that. I mean, even if you look at WordPress Core, there's a general starting point for every release, and then people get involved. Not everybody's a part of that that breakdown of what's going into this next cycle, right? That's kind of discussed between a lot of the trusted sources. Certainly a lot of it's pretty public through a lot of the dev meetings and discussions that happen in different forums that are available publicly. But there's a starting point, right? Not everybody and their mothers involved with that initial decision-making process as to what's going into that next release. And then people are brought in to come on and contribute. I don't have a major problem with it, and I think they're going to do a really, really good job on this. In fact, Ian Stewart is involved. He's going to be collaborating here, who worked on, 2010 and 2011. So it should be cool to see where this all kind of ends up. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. I definitely understand, like, the design by, community or committee. Is having 500 people tell you what's going to look good never works well. And if you follow WordPress Core, you've probably seen that when they do UI refreshes on the dashboard, it doesn't work well. What I would love to see, though, maybe next year, maybe the year after, whatever, I think it'd be really fun to see almost like a community, almost like a contest. Like, hey, submit your ideas, submit your mock-ups. What do you think it should look like? You know, and let the community kind of come up, and then let them vote on it and say, all right, whichever one's number one is the one we're going to build, and get the community a little bit more involved. I understand, like, having everybody try to give your opinion on one design is not going to work, but some type of a competition might be fun down the road. It might get more people involved and want to kind of help with the development around WordPress and the theme specifically. So it might be something to see. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, I can dig it. I like it. I'm looking at the theme here, and I like it better than maybe last year. I was a bit vocal about that and how I felt about
it. I would agree.
I think it's a good step. I'm excited to see where it ends up with the team collaborating.
What do you think, LB Design? You like the direction they're going?
I appreciate your concerns about design by committee, and certainly as a guy who calls himself a designer, the first thing I try to do is write the committee out of the process. But I think what I really like what WordPress has done in the last few years, particularly as a designer, is that they've really looked for ways to involve non-developers in getting involved and not just the community, but in the project as a whole. And yeah, you can say that the theme that they release with it isn't part of core, and it's not part of the of WordPress itself. And at one level, I guess that's true. But I like that they're always looking for ways, particularly in recent years, to try to get people who couldn't code a theme from scratch still involved, still feeling involved, still feeling like they're valued and they matter. So I like that. I like that. And yeah, you're never going to get a design that everybody's happy with. So.
Tis true. You know what? We should vote on it. We should get some stats, some data, and see what happens. It's exactly what WordPress is trying to do right now. In fact, 2014's WordPress User and Developer Survey has been released. It is live in the wild, and it is up to you to get your word in. Get involved and talk about your experiences and what you're doing with WordPress. So if you haven't filled it out, there's a Poll Daddy survey up, wp-survey.polldaddy.com. It'll be a WP-2014 survey. We'll have it in the show notes. It's in our chat room now live. Make sure to go fill it out. It's a big part of how we figure out kind of how WordPress is growing and what that community looks like. I mean, are you involved from a developer standpoint? Are you just a user? Are you using it for business? What's really going on? Show me the money.
Historically, those stats have been showed up in Matt Mullenweg's keynote at WordCamp San Francisco, so I'd expect the same thing this year. So, you know, if you want to be one of those numbers in his stats, get on it.
Well, that sounds appealing.
If you want to be another
number in a stat.
I know how
no, but your point is valid. Your point is valid. Obviously, you know, we have to feed into the community so the community can know what's happening and how to go forward.
If you want to be another statistic, fill out the survey. That didn't come out quite right, but you know what I'm saying.
And Matt's statistic at that. That's good times.
We got to talk about this straight. We have to.
I worry about you, Brad, big guy.
This next topic, I kind of wish you were drinking it.
No.
Not Drake's, I think. So PressGram is shut down. PressGram, I don't know. We have some history with, PressGram and WP Daily stuff. Not bad history, just maybe some things we didn't necessarily agree with. So PressGram is officially, development is shut down, discontinued. It appears all signs that it's over. It's done. So if you're not familiar, it was a Kickstarter campaign. That raised about over $50,000 by John Saddington. And he essentially built it, what I viewed as kind of an Instagram clone that would allow you to push your pictures into WordPress, right? I don't know. I mean, I never really used the service. I saw it a little bit. I checked it out initially, but I was never really like an actual, you know, avid user. Did you guys, either one of you, use this service at all?
The campaign kicked off, I want to say, last year, I think. I don't remember when it started anymore. In any event, yeah, I think it was 2013, somewhere around April. I actually was part of the Kickstarter campaign initially. I had some challenges with the way that it ended up actually turning. The code wasn't all the way GPL'd. There was issues around that. In fact, Matt, one of the biggest backers initially, had given around, you know, donated about $10,000, and he pulled back his money, and I get where he was coming from. I didn't. I supported it through that, but then ultimately it was like the bait and switch. And they turned it into this thing where now it's a social network, and all your content needs to go through their stuff, and it's like very, very close to what Instagram was doing already. So it wasn't really serving the purpose that I thought it was going to serve, and it certainly was outlined a little different than I read the initial PressGram Kickstarter campaign information. And ultimately, I want to say that somewhere in May or June, as this was all happening, I actually, on Dragcast, and I had to go back and figure out which episode, talked about it, and I was not very happy about it, and in fact said that I think that I thought at one point it would fail because of the way that the model was being constructed. And here we are. A year and a half removed from that, and precisely what I think thought was going to happen happened. It just was. I think that the way that it all went down foundationally was really what drove people away from it. It didn't make the value of having WordPress as high as it could have been if they would have pushed it into its own kind of thing versus making it this new social network. It's got to go through our stuff, and I don't know. I just wasn't a fan of where it went. And then after those days. My initial download of it, I think I used it a couple of times and walked away from it.
Yeah, it's too bad. I kind of agree with you. I think it wasn't necessarily to, I don't think their approach was ideal, for, especially for this community. But
I think the idea was great. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten behind it if I didn't think it was something that would have been really cool. I'm an Instagram fan. In fact, during that time frame, I got so pissed off at all that I made my own website named Instadre.com, which is still up to date. And I used a bunch of plugins and stuff that Justin Sternberg had created to pull all of my images and all the meta that comes from Instagram or API stuff directly to a WordPress site, so it's all archived. So if Instagram shits the bed, no doubt, it's all good. I got all those images and all the headings and stuff that I created, hashtags and stuff, right on a WordPress site, and I've got it all archived. So there's that. It's an easy solution to what I think Pressgram initially was going to try and do. Yeah, so Instadre.com.
Going now.
Instadre.
Oh, man. Listen, things that are continuing to change in the landscape here, WordPress, I mean, we've seen acquisitions, AccuHires, we've seen companies that are just at the top go to the bottom, and whole segments like the theme market that was just dominating turn into something that that maybe is just saturated and maybe not where it needs to be. Hosting environments have become something, especially when you're talking about managed WordPress specifically, have been a topic of discussion the last couple of years. I think Pagely led the charge early on. WPE, WordPress Engine, WP Engine, certainly made strides to take that top spot, I would say, in terms of growth. They took a couple funding rounds, or a major funding round, I believe, and then some other investment, and man, they've just grown tremendously. I think to the extent of they've grown into an organization that can probably compete with some of the big boys in the hosting space. Another one that just recently, and it's really focused, I think, on the design side, is Flywheel. Flywheel Hosting, which is managed WordPress stuff, just announced a $1.2 million funding round. I mean, is this showing a direction that we're going to continue to see in terms of hosting? I mean, I don't know of too many other ones that are making splashes right now that may move into the investment kind of arena, but maybe more the acquired arena, right? Like, I think some of these guys are going to get gobbled up by the likes of Flywheels and the WP Engines and stuff, but it's certainly something that we continue to see grow. I would argue that it's probably the most matured segment in the WordPress space in terms of looking at investment and potential business opportunities. I think it's maturing quicker than, let's say, themes and all these other things, the way that it's being invested on by outside of WordPress community people. What do you guys think?
Well, I think it proves there's a market, right? So we know there's tons of WordPress users. There's a market, and we know this, right? WP Engine's gotten a few rounds of funding, quite a big round last time. You know, you're seeing all the big hosts roll out WordPress-specific hosting, right? So GoDaddy just rolled out, like, their own WordPress-specific hosting. DreamHost has their own, you know. All the big hosts are realizing, like, we need to have more segmented, you know, more focus on specific platforms rather than just everything and host whatever you want, which they can still do. But we need to have kind of targeted marketing and things like that. I mean, like you said, Dre, it just shows the maturity in the community. I like it. I think competition is always good. So, you know, having another WordPress-based, 100% WordPress, you know, host is a good thing. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. Once you get funding, things change, you know. A lot of things change. You have people to answer to. The growth, which Jeff mentions in the article on WP Tavern, the growth can be hard for a hosting company. If you go from 100 hosted sites to 100,000, how are you going to support that, you know? So let's keep a close eye on it and see where they're at in a year from now.
Either way, dang awesome. Good congratulations to the folks over at Flywheel, and I wish you the best of luck. There's going to be a lot of people with their eyes on you, so go out and conquer, my friends. Do your thing, baby. Well, I'll tell you what, I think we're moving along pretty quickly here, but I wanted to talk about one specific area that, a security thing. There was an announcement around the Revolution slider and a security vulnerability that's affecting not in a place like an Envato marketplace, I mean, it's affected thousands of themes that are in there, so hundreds of thousands of downloads, right? But it's affected a lot of sites across the internet. And the challenge here is not so much the vulnerability itself, but the, I think that the way that it was introduced to the masses. In most cases, it wasn't because of the sheer footprint of the plugin itself, but more in the plugin being introduced to a larger scale audience by being integrated direct and required directly by these themes, right? So the question is, do these plugins or should these plugins be included in theme packages, or should it be made a requirement in the setup where you go and download the latest version if it's something that you want to require, right? So meaning that you're not shipping third-party software that has vulnerabilities in it to your audience, which could be triple the size of the next guy's, right? How do we limit the potential impact of these third-party plugins that are being introduced to the wild inside of these commercial themes?
I think that's a real concern. I mean, I see clients with plugins, and where do you get this, and what does this do? I don't know. It came with this. It came with that. That's a real concern.
They don't know. I mean, that's the problem. You have, you know, especially people going to these various sites to download themes. They're not technical. That's why they're going to a site to pay the money to get a theme that has features. They probably have no idea there's a plugin, you know, wrapped inside that theme that's for the slider, for whatever, you know, a contact form, whatever it is, whatever that feature is. They probably have no clue. So it's a challenge. Like, how do you educate the users around that? I think from the theme development side, it comes down to changing the mindset of including plugins and themes. It's probably a much deeper conversation than we have for right now, but yeah, this is a nasty one. So hopefully it starts changing people's perceptions of what's in a theme and what's safe and what's not.
That is certainly where the problem lies, I think, is where these developers, the theme shops and creators, authors are including these things. We need to change that workflow and that mindset around having that code included and giving an easy upgrade path upon execution of that theme and its setup with that third-party plugin or add-on. When we see that, we will start to see the risk of these exploited vulnerabilities diminish a bit. Guys, we're running out of time. I want to talk a little bit about Bartrix. What are we doing?
Let me show you a Bartrix.
Since we're on that security tip already, I'm going to go ahead and throw out here, folks, if you're using Google Gmail, there was just an exploit to Google Gmail with 5 million or so passwords leaked. There's a problem. Sucks to be you if you're on that list. So make sure to go check it out. There is a, and if you read that article over at the Daily Dot, they have a link over to a checker to see if you are on that list. It's isleaked.com. If you head there, you can check to see if your email address is on the list. Either way, it'd be safe to bet that Dre is going to recommend that you go and change your passwords ASAP. Because I really don't want to be getting Nigerian million-dollar schemes from you and your email addresses in my inbox. Make it happen, Captain. Next caller, what's your query?
Go ahead, Liam. What you got over there?
I've got a plugin called Add to Server or Add from Server. It's on the repository. And speaking of Chicken Monkey Dog earlier, it's always been a creative endeavor, and I started in 2007 when I only knew minimal things about WordPress. So it was an exercise in creativity and not in proper website management. So one of the things that this plugin does that's great is if you've got images or content in your uploads folder but that did not get uploaded via the media library, you can use this plugin and it will, in effect, add them to your media library by checking to see what's in your uploads folder. So it's fantastic. Saves a lot of time.
That's love very it. Handy, very handy. Awesome. That's a question we get quite a few times over the years. Very cool. I have a plugin as well, and I'll give the WP Tavern and Sarah Gooding over there because she sent this to me about 2 seconds ago. I actually saw it earlier, and I forgot, but it's an interesting plugin, and I think the name is hilarious. So the plugin's called My Eyes Are Up Here. And essentially what it does is it does smart cropping of images in WordPress. So you activate the plugin, and it's using a jQuery plugin which detects faces and pictures. So imagine you upload a One problem is, if you imagine you took a picture of someone standing there, WordPress by default is going to crop, you know, your thumbnail 150 by 150 or whatever it's set at right in the middle of that picture. So you're basically going to have a crop of someone's chest. That doesn't work right. So this plugin will automatically detect faces and crop according to where it detects that face. So if the head's at the top of the image, it will crop at the very top of the image, which is freaking amazing. So I'm going to test this out. This is actually solves a lot of problems because the auto cropping is... It's hit or miss, you know what I mean? Sometimes it crops great, sometimes it crops terribly. So it's nice to have something that maybe is a little bit smarter. Simple, just activate the plugin. But check it out. The plugin's called My Eyes Are Up Here, and it's on WordPress.org.
And my eyes are on upcoming events. WordCamp Europe coming up September 27th through the 29th. A lot of great people going to be attending. If you haven't head over the pond, you should probably go try that. If not this year,
cliff
maybe
dive over there. Just
cliff dive. Prestige Conference, October 3rd through the 5th. Live stream will be available. Go check out the site to get some more information on that. Of course, WordCamp San Francisco, October 23rd through the 25th. Right after that is the summit. They just released the first round of tickets this last week. I'm sure they'll be doing those in banks. It looks around 200 tickets per release cycle. A lot of other events coming up in between now and Pressnomics 3, which is January 22nd through the 24th. I will be at Las Vegas here in December. A couple other events going on. Anything you're going to be hitting up there, Liam?
Oh, geez. I barely know what today is tomorrow, much less what I'm doing in 2 weeks from now. But I definitely need to get in a couple more WordCamps before the end of the year, so I'm going to be hitting that website hard to find a good
you
one.
You need to. I will be at WordCamp Baltimore, which is week before San Fran. So, Liam, maybe that's one you can we can ride down there together if you want. It's always
bingo.
A good camp.
That wouldn't be terrible, and neither is being on WordPress Wednesday with WP Weekly Live at 9:30, right after the Dragcast. You should join us. Liam, you've been a blast to talk to. Where can folks find you on Twitter, Facebook? What's your flavor?
Twitter is Liam Dempsey, and website is lbdesign.tv. We are hiring. The job description was supposed to go up, but I was paying attention to the podcast, so we'll be there soon.
Folks, do it, and do it now, and do it often. Mr. Brad Williams, my friend, episode 58, this has been amazing. Where can people find you?
Yes, sir. We can find me weighing a little bit less than Jordan at WordCamp San Francisco, and if you're on Twitter, check me out at WilliamsBA.
I will still choke them out, but WilliamsBA and at Dre Made Up if you're looking to send us some t-shirts to wear on the show. Folks, not even Sylvester Stallone can save you when it comes to jumping off a cliff, and often not having a big safety blanket is enough to keep the Flatlanders at bay. That's okay. It's not for everyone. Some people may not have the right equipment, and some may be plain scared of heights, but do remember, if you don't take that jump, you'll never know. You'll never know if it was worth it. You'll never know or get that exhilarating feeling when you stick the landing. You'll never know if you would have made it and what if you really liked it. Man, what if you really were good at it and wanted to do it again? You'll never know. Again, it's not for everyone, but if you're feeling like it's time for some excitement, a way to exercise your X factor and up your adrenaline, if you find yourself at the edge of that mountain and you have done everything possible to understand the risk, what the hell do you have to lose? Sometimes our biggest mistake in life is not making that mistake in the first place. Humans are powerful. We are able to recover from a lot. The ultimate slap in the face will likely come when it's too late. It comes when you're no longer energetic enough to climb that mountain, and ultimately you will have to live with the regret of never taking the chance to make that jump. Don't be a chicken monkey dog, and find your mountain, people, and drop it like it's hot. For the Rad and Dread, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 58 with Liam Dempsey. We're out, baby.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drag.